Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. And knowing, Father, that truly is a wonder that you, the Word, have made known yourself to your people by coming down in this hour with a shout. Even though you are invisible, yet the visible manifestations of your presence are clearly with us. So, Father, we just ask that you would help us as we continue to study Satan's Eden, and as we continue in our mini-series on twins, in our mini-series on the identifiable characteristics of your seed. So we commit all of this into your hands in Jesus Christ's name for our glory, for our good, and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This will be number 17 in our twins, identifiable characteristics, number 6. And the elect of God will receive the seal of God and eternal life. On the counterpart of that would be the non-elect will receive the mark of the beast. So this morning we're going to look at the two attributes which actually work together like a hand in a glove. A glove on its own is just material, all right? But when the hand moves into the glove, then becomes a full expression of the hand. If the hand moves, you see the glove move. So in the same manner of God, God gives each of his seed that come to the new birth his seal of life, which is the seal of God, or also called the mark of God. The fact is that God places this seal of God in the forehead or in the mind of the elect seed and in their right hand, which is only an expression of their actions as a result of having the seal of the mind. In other words, before you do anything with your hand, you got to think it. It's got to come through your mind. So the seal or mark of God is the life of God expressed in his doxa, which is his opinions, his values, his judgments, which brings forth expression of God's eternal life in the believer. So, in other words, it's here first, then it's in the life, your hands. Not only will there be the expression of this doxa in what they think, but also in what they do and what they say. In all manner of expression, they will echo God's opinions, God's values, and God's judgments, which are the things that he declares. His law placed into action. In this way, the elect seed of God will express fully what they are indeed filled with Son of God life. In other words, you can't help but to express it. That's why when it speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God, it has to happen. Now, I know many people think, oh, you're getting Pentecostal, you're talking about manifestation of sons of God. If you don't manifest as a son of God, you're none of his. You don't have his spirit. Okay? Therefore, first thing we will look at this morning is how the elect of God, God's own sons and daughters, his seed will receive the mark of God, which is the seal of God, not only in their forehead, but once in their minds, they will then bring forth and manifest in their flesh what is in their mind, which is the doxa of God, his opinions, his values, and his judgments. Now, just to show you how this works in the entire family of God, we'll look at the firstborn son of God and show you that he was the first son of God to actually be sealed in by the Holy Ghost. So we want to know what that really means. How was he sealed in with the seal of God? What is this seal of God? Now, to see this, let's turn in our Bibles to John 6:27 and read for ourselves. Labor not for the meat which perishes, or the food which perishes, but for that meat or that food which endures unto everlasting life. In other words, not physical hamburgers and this and that, but the Word of God, which the Son of God shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So here we have an expression from the Apostle John that God hath sealed the Son of God. Now, of course, we know this meat is actually spiritual food in due season. It is the only food that can nourish you and build you up and bring you to the place of eternal inheritance. And God doesn't just seal any person, but he is very specific whom he seals, for he seals only those who he has had an experiential knowledge with. We read in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth, the Lord ginoscos them that are his. And the word ginosko that was used here means to experientially know. All right? And if God sets his seal of life upon those he experientially knows, then you can be certain that every child of his will know him in an experiential way. So if you only know him by reading or going to church, and that's all you know of God, you have not been sealed, and you don't have an experience with God. Once you experience with God, it will be there. It'll last you throughout eternity. Okay? And that means that there is to be a relationship between God and everyone he gnoscos, or he experientially knows. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Because iniquity is to know and you don't do it, or to know and you do know that you know to do and you don't do it. But sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So if we are led by the Spirit of God and we are experientially knowing God, you can't help but depart from iniquity. Okay. Now, and we are told in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now the word commit here was translated from a Greek word that actually means to initiate. Now to read this properly, we would read it like this. Whosoever is born of God does not initiate sin, for his, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now the Greek word for commit is poio. It's pronounced poeo, and it means to initiate, to celebrate, or to habitually do. If you read the Weiss translation on this, he says that you do not habitually continue in sin. If we go back to verse 8, he tells us, according to the Weiss translation, the one who is habitually committing sin is out of the devil as a source, because from the beginning the devil has been habitually sinning. So you see, God's seed cannot habitually sin because they are born of God. That's why we explained a few weeks ago, when you are justified, it's not this flesh that's justified, it's your spirit. Your spirit is quickened, it's been made alive, and it's Christ living in you. And like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, yet it's not Paul that's living, it's Christ that's living in me. So when Christ is living in you, you are now fully justified. You never did do it. Now this you say, well, this flesh did. This flesh has nothing to do with who you are. All right? It has all to do that with the one that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies. But this flesh has got to be changed to be commensurate with who you really are. You are now resurrected. All right, we're going to get into that next week in the questions and answers from the ministers from Africa. All right, now moving forward with this thought on the seal of God, we read in the book of Ezekiel, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So we see that God sets a seal upon those of his seed that sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the city. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until or unto the day of redemption. Now the day of redemption is when your body finally gets changed. Okay? So we see that this seal of God is actually the Holy Spirit, which is actually holy life of God, because Spirit is life. We read in the book of Revelation 9:4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. All right, so there are those who have and those who have not. Therefore, we notice the placing of the seal, and it is said that the seal of God is in their forehead. So then the seal of God has to do much with our mind, and we know that our mind must be baptized with the Holy Ghost in order for the individual to be able to understand the things of God, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2. But we speak, in beginning of verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is the Lord of glory? The Lord of doxa, you see. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So he's telling you in verse 12, the reason you are to receive the Spirit of God, and I think I've got that on, okay. The reason you are to receive the Spirit of God is that you might know because it's all about knowing. And we're going to show you that this actually, the capping off, you know, the capstone coming down actually caps off you in your growth with Christ. I'm going to get into that. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, excuse me, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's an unregenerate, a person that's not born again, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, it's impossible, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, so this life that comes into us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes into our soul, which is that which governs our rational mind. The difference between the soul and spirit is the soul thinks. The soul, Brother Brown said, the soul has choice. The soul can make a decision. The soul is the rational mind. The spirit is the life essence. You know, you have in the flesh you have, you know, your five outer senses, the see, taste, feel, smell, hear. In the spirit realm you have, you know, emotions and all those kind of things. And then in the soul you have choice. You either take the word or you don't take the word. All right. So this life that comes into us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes into our soul, which is that which governs the rational mind, and thus we see that God crowns our life by crowning our mind. Where do you wear a crown? On the head, right? All right. You, if your mind is not altered by God's Spirit, then your body will never echo or reflect God's life. Because we're told in Scripture that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if the Holy Spirit doesn't come into here, you see, people want emotion. They want a good time. They want to jump up and down and you know, run around the church and everything else. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't come in here, into the rational thinking, You're not regenerated. You're not quickened. You're not made alive to the Word. Now, 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God gave to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that echoes the Son echoes life. All right? And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. What does that mean? It means if you say the same thing He says, then you're going to do the same thing He did. All right. In other words, if it's echoing in here, it's going to echo out through here. If it's in the forehead, it's going to be in the hand. Okay? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, a lot of people say, well, I don't know if I got eternal life or not. Well, then you don't got it. He's saying that if you got it, it's going to be here. You're going to know. As a man thinketh in his heart. That's his understanding. And as he understands, so he thinks. Because he thinks with his understanding. And as he then understands, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the understanding, the mouth speaketh. So, you can live no higher than your understanding allows you to live. And then with your understanding, your mouth will speak it. But it all comes down to your understanding. As a man thinketh in his understanding, so is he. You cannot be a policeman until you understand what it means to be a policeman. You cannot be an architect until you learn in your mind first what it means to be an architect. Then you can be an architect. You cannot be a physician until you learn first in your mind to be a physician, and then you are what you think. The same goes for an airplane pilot, a preacher, a teacher, evangelist, prophet, etc. Whether you want to be a mechanic or a musician, an artist, stockbroker, computer analyst, programmer, or no matter what you wish to be, you must first learn to be that in your mind. Then when your mind is equipped, then that is what you will be. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that, you understand? Okay. So if you are to become a son of God, then you must learn what it means to be a son of God. But if you do not know whether God has any sons of God or not, then how can you become what you know not? And just like any profession, there are standards that you must achieve in your mind in order to become that profession. And to become a son of God, we have the highest standard bearer in the firstborn son of God. But if you do not focus on that standard, you will never become a son of God, nor will you manifest as a son of God, for you have no clue what it means to be a son of God because you know not the firstborn son of God. In other words, Apostolics can never become sons of God until they leave their oneness teaching. You see, they can say, I'm a Christian, that's fine, you can try to be a Christian, but you'll never be a son of God until you know the firstborn son of God, because Paul tells us the object of the fivefold ministry is to bring the people to the place where they are unity in the faith, which is the revelation of Christ, and the knowledge of the Son of God. If you don't have knowledge that there was a Son of God, then you can never conform to that image. So what image are people trying to conform to? All right. As Brother Branham said in the spoken word's original seed, Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God. But if you are a oneness in your thinking, then how can you ever become a Son of God conformed to the image of the firstborn Son if you believe not that there was a firstborn Son? Okay. I hope that... Does that help? All right. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. All right. Why did He come? Give us an understanding. That we may know Him. That is true. And we are in Him. That is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. So in order to become, we must know what we are to become, right? Therefore, the knowledge we seek must go to the soul, which is our rational mind first. Then as the dokes of God, which is His opinions and values and judgments, come into our mind, it then moves into the right hand of man, which is our actions. As a man thinketh in his heart, his understanding, so is he. So in essence, the seal of God then is in the mind of man, and that is also called the crowning of glory that brings our minds captive to the Word of God. That is why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the word means right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, or the rightly wise judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Now, let me just quote Jesus. quote Jesus in saying, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, there's your two Lords. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And you cannot do until you know how to do. Therefore the false vine will also receive a mark or a sealing in as well, and that will be their crowning. And I'm going to show you their crown because of their thinking. Your crown because of your thinking. You have Christ's mind, they have Satan's mind. It is called the mark of the beast or the mark of Cain, and it will be in their forehead and in their right hand, which means in their actions as well. So both vines will have this mark, and Jesus tells us how it works. In John 8:38, he says, I speak, now listen to his words here very carefully, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do, your actions, that which you have seen with your Father. Well, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you're doing what you're thinking in your heart. And I'm doing and saying what I've seen with my Father. That's my pattern. You're doing what you have seen with your Father. That's your pattern. All right. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We're not seed of the serpent. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. You cannot understand my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of unbelief? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? You see, if I'm telling you the truth, and you're not believing me, then you're not believing the truth. He that is of God heareth or understandeth God's word. You therefore hear or understand them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not that well thou that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? In other words, you always got to go to name calling. And Jesus answered, I'm not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So how can you dishonor me who's honoring my Father? You should be honoring my Father with me, but you're not. Notice that the same theme runs throughout the dialogue with the religious Pharisees. I do that which I see my Father do, which is also John 5:19 and 5:30. The Son can of Himself do nothing, but whatsoever the Son seeth, the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. And He says, and I speak that which I hear of My Father, which is John 7:16. And He says, My doctrine is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. There's your pattern. Always. Father doing, Son doing. Father doing, Son doing. Father speaking, Son speaking. Father's doctrine, Son's have same doctrine. All right? Now, notice the pattern, which is a standard set forth for all sons to learn in order to conform to the image of the firstborn Son. You cannot go out and practice medicine without a medical license. All right? That shows that you have gone through the rote. Now, in America, it happens to be all drugs. In other countries, it happens to be many different things. You go to China, they have acupuncture. You go to a place in Germany, they have these electronic probes and things like that. It's called AcuSensor or something like that. You have, amongst the Indians, you have herbal medicines and et cetera. But you can't practice until you have studied. You can't go out there and say, I'm going to be a doctor today. And so, you know, somebody has a problem. You have nothing to draw from, no basis to draw from to help the person. All right? So, neither can you be a son of God until you have the basis for being a son of God. You see, it just doesn't come by osmosis. Well, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost and therefore I'm a son of God. Excuse me. You know, you can't go out and unless I see son of God acting out in you. And that's not going to happen until it's actually in your mind to do so. So, notice the pattern, which is a standard that God sets forth of all sons, is to learn in order to conform to the image of the firstborn Son. John 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave Me commandment, even so I do. John 15:10. If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. John 12:49. For I have not spoken to Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave Me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. John 10:18. No man taketh it from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of My Father. John 12:50. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto Me, so I speak. So there's got to be a pattern first. There's got to be a standard. To manifest as a son of God, there has to be a standard given to you. So that takes us to John 8:38, where He's speaking with the Pharisees. He said, I speak that which I've seen with My Father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. The two different standards. One is based on the word, one is based on non-word. Therefore, as Jesus said in John 14:21, He that echoes My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved to My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. So this is a pattern. This is the example. This is our standard that we must learn if we are to manifest as sons of God. Because remember, Jesus said in John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with My Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. In Matthew 23:32, Jesus then says, fill ye up the measure of your father. Fill you up the pattern of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, you lineage of deadly serpents. And what is generations but genes? You genes of vipers. And notice then, He tells them, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So we see Jesus Christ is the firstborn Son and the pattern for every son of God to follow. But serpent seed also have a pattern, and that is their original seed as well. And as Genesis 1:11 tells us, every seed must bring forth after its kind. So going back to Genesis 4:15, and the Lord said unto him, speaking to Cain, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, and the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, we've got Genesis 1:11, every seed after his kind, and we have God setting a mark upon Cain. All right, then his seed are also going to have that same mark. Revelation 13:7, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Revelation 14:9-11, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, nor worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. All right, so Satan has a mark, God has a mark. Revelation 16:2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, the word worship comes from two words, worth and ship. And worth speaks of the value that we hold, and ship is a state of being or the condition thereof. So these people who worship or worship the image of the beast hold up as something of value the image of the beast. So when the beast says, do this, or do this, and he says, jump, and they say, well, how high do you want me to jump? Do this, and how many times? Just keep doing till I tell you. Revelation 19:20 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Okay, so we see here that both the seed of God and the seed of Satan, both are to receive a mark in their forehead and in their mind, and in their hand or in their actions. So there will be a crowning of each seed. But the crowns are very different. The elect of God are crowned with eternal life, which is God's own life, which is the only form of eternal life because they are born of God. And this life comes to us through the Word of God into our minds, which is our soul. Now John 6:68 tells us, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words, the instructions of eternal life. All right? In other words, the instructions to be a pilot are thus, thus, and thus. You have to take tests. Make sure that your body is doing what's up here. You take written tests, mental tests first, then you take actual tests of flight. All right. 1 John 3:12. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All right. Then what happens? The seeing him as he is our pattern. And therefore, it's our education. It's our training. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. What's glory? Doxa. All right? John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Hebrews 7:16, who is made now not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. And 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Also John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, there's nobody that can affect your relationship with God but you. No man can pluck them out of his hand. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Acts 13:48, and when the Gentile heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So, now the false vine have life also, but the life they have is only temporary, it's earthly, and it's sensual. In Isaiah 40, and verse 7 to 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. James 1:11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Jude 1:12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, cows yard without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And 1 Peter 23:25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Just a few more, and then we'll move on. Isaiah 1:28 to 31, and the destruction of the transgressors, and of the sinner shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which they have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. Isaiah 24:1-6. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And that shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with the mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken his word. This word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. You see, so there comes a time when, you know, they've been doing all this, they've been changing the laws, in other words, one man, one woman, to anything goes, and all these other things, and so therefore the curse now comes upon them. All right? Isaiah 40:78. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. All right. So we see then that there is a pattern which is followed by every seed which comes after its own kind. Now, for the remaining portion of this sermon, I want to dwell upon the crowning of God, of God's seed, by receiving his doxa. Because not only will we understand the doxa of God, but in echoing it with our mouth, we will also echo it in our very life. And it all comes at the time of the appearing of Christ, which is the great parousia of Christ. We read in 2 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory, a crown of doxa, which shall never fade away." Now, we already quoted earlier what the Apostle Paul said concerning this time of the appearing. But let me read it for you again, 2 Timothy 4:8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of right wiseness, which the Lord, the rightly wise judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Now, this is important for you to understand. Why would Paul and Peter and even James all speak of this crown of righteousness that is to be given to us at the appearing of Jesus Christ? Most people who claim to believe this message, okay, but do not understand that he has appeared, would never understand that we are already crowned. We've already received a crown of right wiseness. All right, James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth testings, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, why would these three apostles speak of this crowning of the elect? Because I believe there is a great significance to these scriptures and their association of receiving a crown of right wiseness at the time of the appearing. So let's examine this thought this morning of what is this crown anyway, and what is any crown, and what exactly is a crown. Now, Webster's dictionary tells us the word crown, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm going to say, because I'm not going to deviate from what my script says. But I want you to read those words, and I hope if you got your spiritual thinking caps on, you'll understand. All right, the word crown is derived from the Latin word corona. Okay, meaning a garland, and the Greek word koron, meaning a wreath. Now, I hope you have your spiritual thinking caps on, because we receive our crown, and they receive their crowning, which is what the Latin word speaks of. And if you do not get it, just ask me after service, okay? In the scripture, the word is used in reference to a laurel wreath, which is a reward or honor given after victory. It is worn on the head and brings preeminence to the head. Then I would like to ask the question, what is this crown of right wiseness anyway? Why is it stated in several scriptures that we receive it at the appearing of Christ? Then what does it have to do with the appearing? Well, first of all, we know according to 1 Corinthians 9:25 that we are not to receive a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. So there's two crowns. One's corruptible and people get really sick from it. All right. Now we find according to 1 Peter 1 and 4 and 1:23 that this corruptible crown is actually part of our inheritance. And if it is incorruptible, it can only be one thing, and that is the Word of God. In fact, we read in Isaiah 40 and 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. In fact, Jesus himself said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of God's word shall fail. So if this crown, according to 1 Peter 5 and 4, is incorruptible and cannot fade away, therefore it must be one thing and one thing only, and that is the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19, the Apostle Paul tells us this crown has to do with the very presence of the Lord himself. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? So we are crowned by his presence at his parousia. And we saw in James 1 and 12, it is called the crown of life. So here we have a crown that is promised to us, and it is called the crown of life, the crown of glory, and the crown of right wisers. And in all passages of Scripture, it is identified as taking place at the appearing of the Lord. And in examining these three crowns, we must ask ourselves, since these are all three associated with the appearing of the Lord, are all three of these different crowns? Or are they just three actually the same crown, but called by different terms or descriptions? A crown of life, a crown of glory, and a crown of right wisers. To find out, we must first ask ourselves now, what is a crown anyway? A crown is a headpiece that is worn on the head to bring what? Preeminence to the head. If you wanted preeminence to the kneecap, you'd wear it on your knee, because people would be drawn to the knee. You wear it on the head to bring preeminence to the head, right? Now let me repeat. A crown is a headpiece that is worn on the head to bring preeminence to the head. So what would then, if our crown is a crown of righteousness, of glory, God's thinking, what would their crown be? Their B, to bring preeminence to the beast. Right? Everybody's taking orders from the beast. That is why we're called the jewels in his crown in Malachi 3 and 16 to 18. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So notice, he says, in that day when I make up my jewels. To what? Where do you put the jewels? In my crown. All right. So what we're looking at here is something that is to happen to the elect that will bring preeminence to the head, which is Christ himself, who is the head of the body. When they see you, the way you talk, the way you live, do they say, you're a Christian, aren't you? What's that doing? It's not bringing preeminence to you. It's bringing preeminence to Christ, because that's your pattern that you're living out. You see? All right. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, where we are told, in that day when he comes to be glorified in his saints. Now we know that this word glory is a Greek word doxa, which means the opinions, assessments, or judgment. So, in fact, we can read of this crown of glory that was prophesied to come even back in the book of Isaiah 28:5-6. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Notice that he will not only be our crown, but the spirit of judge will be upon his people in that day. And why is that? Because as he is, so are we in this world. And 1 John 4:17 says, and if he is here as judge, as we see in James 5, behold, the judge standeth at the door, then if we are to come into his image and become reflectors of what he is, we too will become judges or discerners of the word of God. That's why I've said for a long time that in the millennium, Brother Branham said, will be further sanctification. Why? Because we have got to learn to be kings and priests. And you've got to have that textbook. Okay? Now this is our textbook. But we have to have the great instructor, the Holy Ghost himself, who is the teacher. He will sit and teach us how to be kings, how to be priests. Then you will be certified as kings and priests, and you will live out your role in the new earth. Now, that is what we're told in... Okay. So we will, it says, we will discern between righteousness and wickedness, and discern between him that serves God and him that does not. So we see that the very mind of God is to come into the elect in the end time, because we believe Paul's report in that day, which is this day. And didn't Brother Brown tell us that he only preached what Paul preached? And so we see that the appearing, we are to be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. And by seeing him as he really is, we are changed to be like him. Let's just follow this thought through in Scripture. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, at his appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And glory is doxa. So we see here that the appearing of Christ leads us also to appearing with him in the same doxa of God. The very opinions, values, and judgment of God, thus having the same mind that was in Christ, which is the mind of Christ. And that'll be the mind of God, and that'll be in us. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:9-12. For we know in part, but, and we prophesy in part, but, when that which is perfect is come, and Brother Brown said we have by God's grace the perfect revealed word, then that which is in part shall be done away. You see, you know, when a child has gone through grade 1 all the way up through grade 12, you don't teach him, in order to graduate from grade 12, first grade material. When he was a child, he thought as a child, he understood as a child, but when he becomes an adult, he puts away childish thinking. You ought to know that ought to be almost muscle memory by then. All right. For now we see through a glass darkly, Paul says, but then shall we see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I'm known. Again, 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, there's our pattern, there's our example, and we are. Notice it tells us that in this world we are to come into confidence because of his love. Now, let's look further into the thought of the crown. Now, notice Jesus received the same crown as we receive in Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with what? With glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Even Jesus said, Father, restore the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. We also see this prophesied by David in Psalms 8:5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And that is why Jesus could say in John 17:5, Father, glorify me with the glory we shared before the foundation of the world. He was speaking of the mind of God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And that is why Jesus prayed to the Father that we might receive the glory that he received from the Father, and in which he gave to us, that we might be made one with him and the Father, as or in the same manner as he was with the Father. John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Remember the 10 virgins that had the wife, the bride, that had the crown and she had a crown of 10 silver pieces, but one was missing. And we showed you that the 9 that were there were the fruits of the Spirit. That was echoing in her life, but the one that was missing was the doctrine. Brother Brown said the fruit is a teaching of the season. And she was missing that fruit of the season, so therefore she didn't have a complete crowning. So we see that the bride must have that complete crowning in order to become conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, so Jesus said, neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, as parents, that's one thing you can give your children, is God's doxa. Just like Jesus gave to his brothers and sisters, is God's doxa. God gives it to you, not for you to just hold on to, he gives it to you to echo, to give out. That is how God was in Christ. It was God's Word in His Son. And Brother Brown said to Lee Vail in his private audio letter, he said, "For as He came, or as He come then to the natural seed Abraham, He comes now to the royal seed Abraham, who is also waiting for the promised Son, not the natural son Isaac, but the royal promised Son." So according to the Scripture we have already read, the elect, as she receives this crown, which is Christ Himself, she then gives back to Him this revelation or glory, this doxa or mindset, which she received by Him, and this then becomes her offering back to Him. She then becomes, just like the husband, he gives the wife the money to go buy the groceries, or he may go out and buy the groceries, but he gives them to her, and she uses those groceries to feed him. And she uses those groceries, she prepares them in her special way to give them back. Okay, so she then becomes his crown, as we see in Isaiah 62 and 3. "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." And Proverbs 12 and 4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." So the difference between him as her crown and her as his crown is that the word for him as crown is sapphira, meaning a crown as encircling the head. The word for her as crown is sanifa. It means a headdress, i.e. a piece of cloth wrapped around, a hood, a diadem, a mitre. And mitre means which is the official headdress of the ancient Jewish high priest. As he did for Job, we see this crown that he placed around her is a crown of protection, Job 1 and 10. "Hast thou not made a hedge," which a crown about him, about his house, "and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." We also see in Psalm 27 and 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." So what is the pavilion? We're going to find out. "In the secret of his tabernacle," what's the tabernacle? We're going to find out. "Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock." Okay, so what is this tabernacle and pavilion that he said that he will hide us in? Well, if we just read a few more Psalms, we're going to find our answer in Psalm 31:20. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues." Therefore, as Brother Vail taught us, as one of the 10 reasons that he is here to seal us in. And so after we receive the new heart and new spirit, which is the new understanding and the new desire that results from that new understanding, he then anoints that understanding in our mind. And it then receives a sealing in of God life, and thus a sealing out of other seed life. Just as when the male sperm comes in contact with the egg, it causes a chemical reaction in the egg that actually produces an outer coating around the egg, sealing it off to further insemination. Otherwise, an egg could begin to develop, and every time the woman received seed after that, the sperm would enter into the egg, and then you would receive in that egg many different lives that would also begin to develop. And what kind of a monster would you have? 50 arms and legs and 25 heads and whatever more. You see, just a mass of people all grown together with 25 personalities to boot. So what we see here is that this crown he gives her is for her protection, to seal her off from further impregnation. Brother Branham said, from perseverance, he said, "And you know the ark was made out of shittim wood." And if you ever know what that is, it's lighter than balsam. It's nothing. It's just like a sponge, so light that you could pick it up pick up a great big beam of it and hold it in one hand. And it wouldn't. It seems strange that God would construct His ark out of such a thing as that and pour into it this to fill up the pores. And then it then becomes harder to seal. So basically what he's talking about is it was so porous that when they then filled it with pitch, it became rock hard. All right? And that's the way we have to do, is to empty out every creed, everything that's in us, and every nonsense and every ungodly belief, and the Holy Spirit might fill us and seal every pore of our believing, every pore of our minds, until you won't notice whether it's your neighbor or who it is sitting around you. You're sealed into the kingdom of God, and then you can stand the buffet and buffet of the waves as you go through persecution. From the Message, A Guide, he said, then Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of your redemption." Sealed into the kingdom of God. Now, don't forget that. Keep that in mind now. And that takes these things first. Then the sealing is the Holy Ghost, the cap that seals us into the body. All right. from hidden life with Christ is, and if your heart isn't tender before the Lord, if there isn't something in your heart that it satisfies day and night, no matter what comes or goes, as Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. Did you ever think of that, that love is appearing? From present stage of his ministry, Brother Ransom, in that dark hour, mid rendering rocks and darkening skies, said the poet, my Savior bowed his head and died. The opening veil revealed the way to heaven's joys and endless day. He had to do that in order to make the way for us. That's right. But what did God do? He was true to the word and he embraced the cross. But was it was it to the end of his ministry? Was his ministry washed up? God crowned it with the greatest crown that ever could have been crowned. He crowned it on Easter morning on the resurrection. He crowned the ministry of our Lord Jesus. He raised him from the dead and is alive forevermore. He wasn't washed up because all men forsook him. He was crowned. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was crowned because that he was had been forsaken, and he must do that when he raised him from the dead. So, just reading a few more quotes from Brother Branham on this crowning. Moses' ministry was crowned. David's was crowned. Job was crowned. Paul was crowned. Jesus was crowned. Brother Branham's crowned. You're being crowned. All right. Now, from the present state, so, you know, people are looking for a physical crown. It's not. It's his doxa. It's his mind. You're crowned. It's in here. And it causes the actions here to reflect what's in here. From present stage of my ministry, he said, so you see, it's at that time when men forsake him, God's servant, that stay true to the word, that God seals their ministry with a crowning time. From present stage of my ministry, he said, well, all men has forsaken me, but there's one thing. He stood by me. I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision that happened down there on the river. I stayed true to it. He's been true to me. I'm trusting in him someday. I don't know when for a crowning of my ministry. I'll say just as true as I could be. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it'll be. But when he's ready, I am. Now look here. I hope he will crown my ministry with this, of letting me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the cloth of the word and for his righteousness. I hope he will crown me and let me stand there on that day and say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I hope we can see how it is that this crown of righteousness, also called the crown of glory and the crown of life, will be rejected by all others, but this only serves to identify the crowning itself. What is foolishness to man is esteemed by God and vice versa. All right, from Five Junctions of Time, Brother Brown tells us, and the mark of Antichrist is to reject the Holy Ghost, which you're sealed outside of the kingdom of God forever, with no way they'll ever be forgiven. He that speaks against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Well, what do you mean, speak against the Holy Ghost? You speak against the doctrine of Christ. That's it. All right? There's your mark of the beast and the seal of God in one little handful. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the mark of Antichrist is to deny it. Now, you're marked one way or the other. Don't you want to have the Holy Ghost today? And how does the baptism of the Holy Ghost come upon you? By receiving the word for this day. And to deny it gets you crowned with the mark of the beast. From Mary's belief, he says, be careful, all that didn't receive the seal of God got the mark of the beast. You know what the mark of the beast is, was to reject the seal of God. Faith cometh by hearing. And if you don't hear it and receive it, then you're marked on the other side. Then you can't come in. And from all the days of our lives, he says, and the Bible said in the last days, there would be two marks, and every person on earth would have one or the other. You just can't get out of it. One's the mark of the beast, and the other was one was a seal of God, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit, God's provided way for his church. From Ephesians 4:30, said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. And to reject that Holy Spirit is to take on the mark of the beast, and that didn't have, and all that didn't have the mark of the beast had the mark of the devil. So you're marked. You're either marked a bond slave in the love of God, or you're marked a slave to the things of the world of the devil. Again, from Questions and Answers, the mark of the beast is on today, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. To reject it is the mark of the beast. And from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, Jesus predicts that this Holy Spirit in the last days would be the seal of God. Now, What would be the mark of the beast then? Would be to reject the seal of God. For all that didn't have the seal of God had the mark of the beast, and it's two different spiritual marks. One of them will be a true mark of God, and the other one will be apostasy. Can you see it? Again, from the 10 virgins, he said, oh, I just love him, don't you? Yes. What is it? What is the seal of God? The Holy Ghost. What is the mark of the beast? To reject it. That's the two. All right. How do they reject it? By refusing to hear it. So, we see that she is not for his protection. Her crowning is for his glory. His crown is for her protection. All right. But rather, she is for his beauty personified, in which she, by her beauty, is to attract attention to the head, giving the head the full preeminence. Thus, we have a true picture of a bride and her groom, and how each complements the other. And Malachi 3:16 tells us, or gives us a better understanding then, of this protection he gives her, and her giving back this revelation to him, which he has given to her. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and that honored his name. They will be mine, saith the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them as in compassion a man spares his own son or serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who serve him not. Now, in closing, from Christ of the Mystery, Brother Branham says, first to reveal himself. Okay, he's talking about the threefold mystery of God. First to reveal himself, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and then to bring the fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people that could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. When God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. Paul, with all of his great intellects, he was taught by Gamaliel to be a great priest or rabbi someday. And he had high ambition. He was intellectually a great man, great authority, great man in the nation. But he had to sacrifice every bit of it, see, to become a part of the Word to express Jesus Christ. He knowed what it was to say. He had a notion to go to some place. Some brethren had called him, but he was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. Oh, if people half spiritual can pick that up, see, he was forbidden to do his own will. He could only do the Spirit, he said, forbid me, see. He was a prisoner to Christ. Moses, his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ to be a prisoner. Then when God got all the world beat out of him and all the mighty man that he was, and stand in the presence of that pillar of fire that day, he was found just speechless. He couldn't even talk. He said, God had us prisoner then. See, you won't try after your own searching. Then God had to endue this man, endow him with power enough that he could go down there. And he said, Lord, I told Pharaoh what you said, and he wouldn't do it. Now, that's when he can express the preeminence, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. Then secondly, first to express himself completely God in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride. He could have the preeminence to express himself through them, all right? And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, and he talked with them and fellowshiped with them. And now sin and death has separated them from the presence and of his entire expression. Do you read it? Before the foundation of the world, to express all of his attributes, what he was. Now, we see her a beautiful picture of the bride and groom. As she dresses to meet her mate, she first puts on her shoes, which is the preparation of the gospel. She is then dressed in the Word, and the last piece of apparel she puts on before she is presented to her groom at the wedding is the crown or headpiece, which consists of a headband, a veil and train representing God before her, God behind her, God over her, and God all around her. She is at this point totally absorbed in the presence of Christ and is then ready to proceed down the aisle to meet her groom. As Brother Branham told Brother Vail, he said that when that sword was placed in his hand, he said, I've had no fear ever since then, and all my thoughts are God. And as he told Brother Hickerson, he said, you people are here. He said, right now I'm here, and you're here, but one day you will be here. One day. All your thoughts will be God. That's when you know that you've been crowned. He then kisses her, and for the first time she is purely face to face and mouth to mouth. And as Brother Brown said, then the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she will keep still. From Zephaniah 3:9-17, then will I purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve. He's here. He's purifying our lips. He's given us a capping, the capstone, the crowning, crown of glory, crown of right wiseness. It's our joy of rejoicing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are crowning your bride. You're filling her with your doxa, your opinions, your values, your judgment. And Father, we just pray that we would not try to muster up something and try to produce something that is not in your opinions and in your values and in your judgment. But may we just yield to your Holy Spirit as sons of God are led by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, this would be our lot. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.